In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, if there's one thing we've got plenty of in this life, it's rules and laws. We're governed by them. And it starts at an early age with rules that a child can understand and that they're taught, like, you shouldn't lie. And as we get older, the rules and laws get progressively more complex. But before long, as we get older, we begin to see and understand that sometimes even oftentimes, we don't always live in a black and white world of rules and laws. Sometimes the answer to the law lies in the gray of life. In Christian ethics, there's a law that exemplifies what I'm talking about. It's a law which requires us to not only examine the actual law, but also our own morality as it relates to the law. And the Christian ethics law is this: what is the greater good? Obviously, it's a very broad and complex topic. But the classic example always used is Anne Frank. And the question goes like this: if you were hiding Anne Frank and the Gestapo knocks on your door and asks you if you are indeed hiding Anne Frank, what do you say? On one hand, it's a sin to tell a lie, isn't it? On the other hand, if you don't tell a lie, she's going to die. So what's the greater good in this situation? Life's answers aren't always black and white. Jesus is faced with such a situation this morning as he meets opposition from the religious authorities over the proper observance of Jewish law and practices. Of all the inherited traditions that had been given to the Hebrew people, many of the most stringent rules and laws were focused on keeping the Sabbath day as a day free from work and trade. This law wasn't practiced at that time by any other ethnic group. Sabbath keeping was a significant and unique part of Jewish tradition, so it held great importance to them. But by the time of Jesus, the Sabbath law, the law itself, had become increasingly demanding to the point that the rule for the law of not working on the Sabbath had become what was being worshipped and not the reason for not working on the Sabbath. That had been forgotten. And the Pharisees were a perfect example of what we're talking about. They were absolute black and white rule followers. And they faithfully followed the law that said man was not to work on Sunday. And they meant any work. Well, apparently that included plucking off the heads of grain in a field. And when they saw Jesus' disciples pluck off the heads of grain and eat them, the Pharisees accused the disciples of gleaning the fields. And that constituted work. And that meant it was a sin. But Jesus didn't see this law as black and white. He saw the situation through different lenses. He didn't see disciples who were breaking a law. He saw people who were hungry and needed to eat. So he reminds the Pharisees of when the soon-to-be King David and his companions were on the run for fear of then King Saul. David and his companions ultimately find safety in the house of God and are given food by the high priest. But it wasn't just any food the high priest gave them. It was the consecrated bread that was reserved for only priests. This was this sacred bread that sustained the lives of David and his companions. So on one hand, by giving the consecrated bread to David and his companions, this priest had broken the law. But on the other hand, because he broke the law, he also kept them from starving. What was the greater good in this situation? That's the question Jesus is posing to the Pharisees. But Jesus doesn't stop there, and neither do the Pharisees, for that matter. Jesus enters the temple. And this time, it's almost like he's baiting the Pharisees. He wants them to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. So Jesus sees a man with a withered hand, and with the Pharisees watching and hoping to trap him, Jesus tells the man to come forward. And once more, Jesus tries to get the Pharisees to open their eyes to the fact that sometimes life happens in the gray. And so he says to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? Then, as if to answer his own question, he heals the man's withered hand right before the eyes of the Pharisees. And of course, they think he's broken the law and they set out to get him. They just simply failed to understand that in the eyes of God, people and their needs are much more important than rules. And since we're talking about rules and laws, I guess we need to go back to the only two rules that really matter, the only two rules that all of the other rules are based on. In Hebrew, it's called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you get right down to it, love is the foundation of our faith. It starts with the law of love that God has written in our hearts so that we may live our lives feeling the love of God and showing the love of God to others. Love allows us to open our eyes and understand that the greater good sometimes outweighs the law, that sometimes life isn't black and white. Sometimes life is a shade of gray. So here's the question this morning. How are we paying attention to the life-giving love of God in our lives? How do we experience it? How do we show it to the world? I'll give you two examples that happen almost on a weekly basis in that office across the street. Someone comes to our church office on a Wednesday morning wanting food, but the food pantry isn't open on Wednesdays. It's only open on Mondays and Thursdays. Now, that doesn't mean these people that come to our doors still aren't hungry. Now, we can break the rule and feed them on a Wednesday, or we can tell them to come back on a Thursday when the food pantry's open. What's the greater good in the love of God telling you to do? Or what if somebody goes to the thrift shop and they don't have any money? The office is closed and they can't get a voucher, but their child still needs clothes and shoes. You can hold to the rule that you have to pay for what you get or wait for the church office to open tomorrow and then get a voucher. Or you can give them what they need for their child and don't worry about the money or the voucher. What does the greater good and love of God tell you to do? Point is, laws should never intrude on our relating to God and to our neighbor. Relating in a caring and loving way, in a way that allows us to support our brothers and sisters in time of need, no matter what day of the week it is. Because rules were never meant to come between us and God. So we would be wise, I think, to remember that there is only one rule which really matters. And it's the rule that came directly from God. And it's this: love God and love your neighbor. If we can just hold that rule in our hearts and live it, we'll make living in the gray of life a lot richer and a lot fuller. Amen.